I'm Leslie Cantor. I'm not the moderator of the session, but it's actually 10:30, so we're going to go ahead and start. Welcome to the panel on a variety of public opinion related to sexual and reproductive health. And I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'm talking about data on support for sex education and support among both parents and teens. I wanted to comment that I, like every other person in this section, have no disclosures. We don't even make enough money in this field to have anything to disclose. All right. For a few of you, having me up here may feel like deja vu all over again, right? That's the Yogi Berra line. Because I did, in fact, present on a very similar topic a decade ago, which was on engaging the public in the debate over abstinence only until marriage programs. I'm just going to give you a moment of flashback to that. Now, in that case, my sample was 800 likely voters, nationally representative, and we asked a slightly different question than the questions I'm going to present today. In that case, the question was, do you agree or disagree that all students should receive age-appropriate, medically accurate sex education that begins in the early grades and continues through the 12th grade? And even with that very provocative, in the early grades, still 90% either strongly agreed or not so strongly agreed. So even in 2002, way back then, very strong support for sex education and a strong feeling that including the topics of birth control and contraception and STDs was also important. So if I was going to summarize where we're going to go today, I could tell you that people still love sex education, but I'm going to put a little finer point on it. I had the opportunity to collect data last year in conjunction with Family Circle magazine and the Center for Latino Adolescent and Family Health at NYU. We collected data from dyads, parent-teen dyads, 1,046 adolescents, and one of their parents, either their father or their mother, completed the survey. And parents did consent for their teens to participate, and then teens assented for their own participation. Some of you may be familiar with knowledge networks. There have been several other papers at this meeting that have been presented on data collected using their knowledge panel. They've now been bought by GFK. I think we could have an interesting discussion, actually, if there's time, about when you want to get data quickly, who are the folks who have existing panels and which have tried to collect or put together panels in a relatively scientific fashion. The reason that I like knowledge panel is that, in fact, they recruit into the panel using both address-based sampling and random digit dial. And for those of you who are interested, they've also constructed a Latino panel, which I've used for some other polling. So in terms of, you know, scientific, we could debate that, but I think they're strong compared to the other options out there. So a little bit about the survey demographics. We did not have as many fathers as mothers. We literally invited every single father who they had in the panel who had a 15 to 18-year-old, but there's a little bit of a male-female discrepancy among the parents. We have pretty much split in the teens by gender. The mean age for parents was just over 45 and about 16 and a half for teens. And then the ethnicity reflects what it looks like in the U.S. right now. So the largest proportion of folks are white with a good sample of Hispanic and African Americans. We did oversample for those groups, but everybody hopefully knows that once you oversample, you then downweight those responses to equal the proportion that you have in whatever you're trying to approximate with your sample. All right, so that's who we had. I thought I would tell you just a little bit about the overall findings before I get to public support, because the overall findings had to do with communication between parents and teens, what topics they had talked about, and the frequency with which they talked about it. And good news, almost everybody says that they have talked about sexuality in some way, shape, or form. So close to 90% of parents reported ever talking to their teen about any topic. Mothers were statistically significantly more likely than fathers to report ever talking, but that father number is a nice high number, 85%. you'll see what we saw over and over, which is there's a little bit of a discrepancy when we get to the teens. And again, these are the teens of those parents. And we saw this over and over, and we saw it on our frequency measures, that parents think they're talking about this a lot more than teens think they're talking about this. The other big takeaway from the communication side that I thought I'd share just for a moment is that, you know, in our field, we've spent a lot of time in programs thinking about how do we get parents to be more comfortable, when it turns out parents are pretty comfortable, right? Almost 50% say they feel very comfortable. It's the teens who are desperately uncomfortable. All right, only 17.5% of teens say they're very comfortable. And there's no gender difference. Sons and daughters are totally uncomfortable talking to their parents. All right, so on to our topic for today, which is public support. Here's how it looks right now. Over 95% of parents and close to 93% of teens report that it's important that sex education is taught in high schools. However, parents are more likely than teens to say it is very important, right? And the teens sort of catch up in the somewhat important. And you'll see, as always, there's a very small percent who either say that it's not important or should not be taught. This is in high school. Going to middle school. Again, very high support for the idea of teaching sex education overall. Close to 94% of parents and 88% of teens say that it's important. But again, when you dig in a little on the scale, parents are actually more likely than teens to say that it's very important to have sex education in middle school, and the teens are more likely to say that it's only somewhat important. Topics. As always, people want comprehensive sex education. So right now, I'm just showing you the straight-up frequencies. I'll show you some of the distinctions between parents and teens in a moment. But we asked specifically about the topics of STDs, of healthy relationships, of abstinence, of birth control, and of sexual orientation. Look at that kind of support. The truth is, there is nothing else on which the American public agrees this strongly, except how much they didn't like Congress during the shutdown. That's the first time I was able to find any other piece of public opinion data where you saw this sort of 95-5 split, other than in the realm of sex education. So you can see, even with birth control, which tends to be one of the contentious issues in terms of public policy debates, you can see that 94% of parents and 87% of teens think that it should be included in high school. When it comes to middle school, again, that same basic pattern holds. People want it to be comprehensive and include all of these topics. You do see a little bit less support in middle school for teaching the topics of birth control and sexual orientation. But again, we're talking about 80% think birth control should be included in middle school, and close to 70% say sexual orientation should be included as a topic. So those are nice, strong, solid majorities. They only look low when you're looking at almost 100% on some of the other topics. So just for fun, I wanted to take a look at whether there was a difference between parents and teens. And it is true that parents are statistically more likely to support abstinence being taught in high school and healthy relationships. Again, we could talk about the differences between statistically significant and actually real-world significant, right? When you have 89% of teens supporting abstinence, that's nice, strong support. So I actually think that what's more interesting is that there's absolutely no difference between parents and teens when it comes to the inclusion of birth control, STDs, and sexual orientation in high school. Similar pattern when it comes to middle school, a little bit more support among parents for abstinence, STDs, and healthy relationships. But on the topics of birth control and sexual orientation, parents and teens are basically statistically equally likely to support teaching that in middle school. And then just for fun, we wanted to see what people really thought about sex education. Now, when you ask people about the quality, so they really, really support it, but when you ask them about the quality, well, they're pretty split. Half of them say it's very good or good, and half of them say it's fair or poor. So even so, they like it, but this is what they think of the quality. In terms of how satisfied they are, The largest proportion of folks say they're somewhat satisfied. You've got a tiny percent who are saying they're very satisfied, and we have a little bit going all the way down the scale. One thing I will point out to you is that we have a proportion there, right, 15%, 16% of teens, who they're not really sure. So this is where, again, for those of us who work on the advocacy side, this is because people really probably don't know what's going on. And that's an issue for us when, in fact, we face any kind of controversy. In terms of the amount of time spent, again, the largest proportion here say it's pretty much the right amount of time. We also asked some questions about how could sex education be improved. So we asked about, you know, sort of should sex education cover more topics that are important and relevant to teens? Okay, people thought that was a good idea. We asked about beginning at an earlier age. It's important for us to take a look at the fact that people do not support the idea of teaching sex education at an earlier age. So when we're crafting our public messages, this is very often a sex educator's refrain, right? That we're not starting early enough. This is unlikely to really resonate. People don't think it should start earlier. Training teachers, even that, people weren't that excited about the idea of training teachers. So again, this is not where we're going to really have a persuasive argument in the public discourse. Then I wanted to take a look at whether there were any associations between parents who had talked to their teens and their support for teaching that topic in school. Now, again, this is cross-sectional data. This is not predictive. It's an association. It can go either way, but the only story that really makes sense is to tell it this direction. So 81.3% of parents who have ever discussed birth control with their teen also support including that topic, and this is in middle school. However, almost 55% of parents who've never discussed birth control with their teen still want birth control taught in middle school. So even if they're not talking with their own kids, they want the schools to do it. When it comes to high school, you can see, I mean, there's just really high support for teaching birth control. So 95% of parents who have ever discussed want birth control included, but 86% of parents who have never discussed want birth control included in high school. And we looked also at that topic of sexual orientation. Again, we could only look at these because it was the only place where we had anybody who didn't necessarily support it. So 70% of parents who have ever discussed want sexual orientation included, but more than half who have never discussed want it included in middle school. And in high school, again, support for these topics goes up. So 70% who have ever discussed want it included, and close to 70% who have never discussed sexual orientation still want that included in the curriculum. So here's the thing. Just like a decade ago and on every national, state, and local poll I've ever looked at, parents and teens believe that sex education is very important in schools. They want it to be comprehensive. And whether they're talking about these topics or not, they want the schools to include these topics. So we have a winning issue. And what people always say is, well, then why is there ever any controversy? And the answer is because the couple of people who don't like it have a lot of energy, and they use it on this issue. But we need to energize more people because they're really, really with us. So I hope this data will be helpful to you, and we'll answer questions at the end. Thank you.